Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
But I'm going to Mississippi, Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
But I'm going to Mississippi, Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your Radio Happy Hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app. Hope you've downloaded that. You can always find us, too, on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. But don't forget to watch us. So we are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. And I love following it up with guests, particularly who started a business a couple years later. Check in, see how they're doing. That's what we're doing today. You might remember back in 2021 when everybody was thinking about mask and protection and all the things. We've got our guest back with PSC Solutions, Xinghai Yang, who is still at it and growing and going. So welcome back, Mr. Yang.
Yes, thank you.
Well, I love hearing back from businesses, and you started out of kind of a necessity. So let's start from the beginning. Take us back to 2020, 2021. What were you seeing a gap there that maybe as a business you could provide?
Yes, that's the beginning of the 2020 and the early the COVID time. And at the beginning, we really don't have a lot of masks, and everybody's struggling to try to get more protection supply. And that's the time we think about, because the public demand is so suddenly just requires so much and our production cannot catch it. We say how we can utilize the resource we have to provide more protections. And that's how our story started, that we can make a smaller mask. We call the nasal filter, actually only cover the breathing, you know, pathway, and to protect you. So that's how our story started. But our story just continued, just amazing, just to turn out about how this nasal filter can utilized to protect our family and friends, and against the COVID time, and even after the COVID time, the small particle pollution, air pollution, that's one of the biggest public health threat.
And there's different levels of that throughout the world. So your product's not necessarily just for here in Mississippi. You are looking at people globally that could utilize this kind of healthcare protection.
Yes, exactly. I always start and from the Hattiesburg. And we try to reach out to friends over there, the family, and try to, you know, and do our part. You know, there are many people contribute to protect each other, and we do our part. And, of course, this one will be on Mississippi, and actually the product will reach a different city, Oklahoma, New Jersey, and we just recently have a customer from Netherlands.
Which is really exciting.
Yes.
To think in 2 years you've kind of moved this fast, Mr. Yang, I think is really cool. Did you have any healthcare or entrepreneurial skills prior to starting PSC Solutions, or was this kind of like really a pandemic baby business for you?
Ms. Rebecca, I really do not have any skill like that. It just like some kind of, you see a fire, you just jump in. You're not a firefighter, but you just jump in to get bucket and whatever you can do to support. So, and that's how we started. So just learn on the road, and I still have a lot of things to learn and lots of things to grow.
And since then, you've even participated in Mississippi's co-builder entrepreneur pitching events. Explain that to us. How did that work?
Yes, that's 2 years ago, and with the pandemic, it just quieted down, and I work on the nasal filter. I said, okay, people will not like it, and you know, it's pandemic's already over, but suddenly there one pitch event happened in across the Mississippi State, and there one location at where I work with, Hattiesburg. So I was be informed by the event. I said, that'd be cool. So if I can participate, so I just prepared my materials. I participated for first year and the second year. And actually, I participated 3 times. And I didn't get any reward, but I learned a ton of things regarding how to prepare my presentation, how to address the need, and how to learn, you know, the business, the language, and the term, how to put things together.
And also, too, just your pitch or your elevator pitch or elevator speech, I think, is another way that you can sort of say it. But, Mr. Gang, I'm glad you brought that up for folks listening to Good Things. If you have an idea, there's even things to learn by doing these pitches or doing these sort of co-builder events that are around the state. You may not walk away with the investment, and that's fine, but you walk away with an incredible amount of knowledge that can also help your business move forward, which is a good thing.
Yes, that's a really great thing for Mississippi to have, and I'm really benefited so lot from that. And first of all, I try to find audience to see my product. I don't have any audience, and so basically the pitch event is the first time I get a formal audience. I can tell my story. You know, you only get 5 minutes.
Yeah, wow.
5 minutes. And basically, to really talk your product, probably get 1 minute or two. So it really challenges. So it's a lot of the practice to get in there and do a good job. So it's a great learning experience. You met a lot of friends, build some network, and they will guide you to different resources that can be help you.
So you had to get it down to the nitty-gritty, as they say, Mr. Yang, in terms of what your nasal filters are. Like at the actual foundation, like for
right.
folks listening, how do you describe them now to people now getting down to that core kind of concept?
Yeah, the nasal filter actually, you know, we mentioned that it started with trying to do a patch. You know, patch the we don't have enough mask, but it turned out the nasal filter is a great. I almost think it's a great cornerstone for public protection against any future pandemic or whatever. So the reason I talk about that is, you know, we have many resources to battle the pandemic. We have vaccine. It's good, and but you know, vaccine, it cannot prevent you get the virus, and it cannot prevent it to pass to other. But vaccine really can protect you from severe sickness, and also we get a regular face mask, N95, whatever. But it can protect you, but from time to time you need to take it off. It cannot protect you when you took it off. So that's why we find a gap of protection. And when I look at, from the social media, I ask people, how do you get COVID? And guess where they get COVID?
Where?
The most place is supposed to be a most safe place, most place to give you peace of mind is at home.
But don't tell us that.
That is true because whenever you go outside, you say, okay, I need to prepare myself. But when you go home, you say, I'm ready at home. I take off my mask and I just want to relax. Mm-hmm. And majority of people get it from there, from our families. So that's why and make us a nasal filter be a way layer protection at all time. You can wear it at all time because it's comfortable. And it just don't give you any, you barely just feel much of the restriction on breathing. And you can eat and drink. And yes.
So even if you don't want to wear one at home, because that is where you feel you're most like, you know, even after a long day, Mr. Yang, you want to come in, take shoes, socks, bra off, get comfortable. You probably
right.
don't want to wear
yeah.
all of that there. But I can see where even culturally speaking, prior to the pandemic, you saw folks that were choosing coverings when they traveled or
right.
in certain countries that had the air pollution. They're just a little more necessary
yes.
in that respect, at least in terms of someone who wants to do that.
Right.
And so having products that obviously can meet that need, but also be unique in design, I can see would be very helpful. Are they
right.
made here in Mississippi?
It is made in Mississippi. It is made in Hattiesburg.
And is there like a facility for it? Or are you making these like at home?
You know, right now we handcrafted at home.
Mm-hmm.
We handcrafted a home, and we just have a good like area and circulate with the air, And we just held the materials that we purchased all the medical filters, and we also purchased some other, like with the fashion design, and whatever you can find, some fabric or fashion from Hobby Lobby, from Michael's, or whatever.
So we want places. One, Mr. Yang. Where do we get it?
If you can want one, we have an online shop. It's called Etsy. It's www.etsy.com/shop/PSC-HOP-CDMS.
All right.
Right.
And you'd be supporting local. And then there are obviously the opportunity to have multiple. I know you have different colors and brands and all of the things. So I'm so excited for you, Mr. Yang. Congratulations on all your success. You'll have to come back in 2, 4, 6 years and show us where PCS solutions are then. How about that?
Yes, absolutely. I would love to share and share the good news. And I'm love to listen to your show and hear a lot of the great story about our state.
Well, I appreciate that. You guys stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
Pickup truck. Making your afternoon just a little brighter. It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We hope you've taken time to download that. We're always on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. Of course, you can find us on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. Now, coming up on Tuesday, the Ricky Matthews Show and Middays with Gerard Gibbert. They are going to be at the Mississippi Municipal League. I watched you, Rhonda. Watch me while I get into that. Say it for me.
Municipal.
Municipal. Municipal. What does it mean? City?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that, see, that is just why. Why?
Well, it includes cities. Cities, towns, villages.
Municipal. It's, okay, Mississippi Municipal.
MML.
Annual conference in Biloxi. It's an event that brings city and county leaders from across the state together as they look to the future of the Magnolia State. None of them can say that word either, if they're being honest. Our coverage is brought to you by Raymond James and Convention County Hospital. Raymond James Public Finance provides innovative solutions to all types of government financing needs to help make communities across Mississippi even better places to live. So if you want to learn more, visit rjworksformississippi.com, Covington County Hospital, where your health care matters. So CovingtonCountyHospital.com also is the other. We appreciate their support for the Mississippi Municipal League. I mean, I'm going to have to say that between now and next Tuesday, so maybe I will.
Well, there's another word that is being celebrated today, and it's a word that, much like municipal, you probably don't use it in your day-to-day life.
There's a lot of words I don't use in my day-to-day life.
Well, this one I kind of doubt you would on any kind of regular basis, but it's something I think you could get behind.
What is that?
Sauntering.
Sauntering. I did say it's National Sauntering Day.
It's World Sauntering Day.
World Sauntering Day. And so it's not a way of cooking proteins, sauteing. It's not a form of dance. That was salsa.
So it's not a sonnet, because that's a love poem.
So what is sauntering?
Sauntering is when you walk about lazily or relaxed, usually at a slow pace, and in no general direction.
So you just...
Saunter.
So I know the photo on it is walking down the beach. So I guess that the last time I sauntered would have been on a beach, a ship island, actually. And you just... But you are going in a direction because the beach follows you in one direction. But I guess if you just get out and take a stroll.
Yeah, if you just get out and walk and you don't you don't have an end point or a goal you're trying to locomote yourself to. You're just meandering.
Isn't that kind of what Forrest Gump did, but running?
Kinda. I mean, he was generally going in a straight line back and forth. But yeah, if you took out the relaxed part, because I don't think running cross country would be very relaxed. That would definitely be close to a
saunter. Depends on the day and who I want to punch, the level of aggression I need to get out. If I'm sauntering, it's a good day. I'm probably not on a meter of like, oh, I've been aggravated. But if I have and I'm trying to avoid violence in the workplace or at home, then up and down the hills and cross country may be the better sort of route to go. I like it though. And I think there's a lot of also good evidence that sauntering is good for your health, getting out, getting fresh air, and not having to have a like time to it, steps to it. It doesn't even necessarily need to have like a purpose other than just to change what you're looking at and your
I feel like we might not call it sauntering, but there is definitely something that happens to just about everybody. If you get on a phone call for any prolonged period of time, talking to somebody you might not have talked to in a while, maybe you talk to them every day, but you got one of those good 5, 10, 15 minutes or longer phone call conversations, you'll catch yourself sauntering around.
Oh yeah.
You have nowhere in general you're going. You're just wandering and meandering with your phone up to your ear. That's sauntering.
I do that with brushing my teeth. I cannot for the life of me. I brush my teeth, guys. Don't worry about that, twice a day. But to stand there and brush my teeth for the 2+ minutes or whatever you're supposed to do and just like not move, I can't do that. Like I'm not really multitasking. I guess I kind of am. I'm going around walking in different places, doing things like while brushing my teeth, but not really accomplishing anything. I just can't. And it's probably not even sauntering. It's more of like a anxious waddle stroll kind of thing.
Yeah, that is the key. You have to be relaxed to saunter.
Well, thank God I haven't sauntered in years. That is out of question. I haven't done that in years.
We do have another competing day that we can celebrate in our own ways from the 662 on the C-Spire text line. It's Martini Day.
Now, if I had a good martini, I could saunter my tail up and down wherever. Go for that second one, absolutely. Then it becomes more of a sway, but that's okay. That's probably for another day. But martinis are asked, can you get behind that? I can get behind that. I mean,
as long as it's an actual martini, not one of these things they put in a martini glass that they call a martini, but it doesn't have any resemblance to a martini. Because unless I'm sorely mistaken, and I never went to bartending school, so I don't have a certificate saying this, but I'm fairly certain a martini is vodka or gin and vermouth. And that's all you need.
What about the olive?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a garnish.
No, that's part of it. That is absolutely part of it. I obviously, I don't mind one. It's never been my drink of if I'm going to sit down and order something, it's not something I'm going to order. I have had one and they're fine. But the glasses are very misleading on how much liquid you actually get. So it is for sure a sipper. It is not one to get on a bad day where it needs to go down in a gulp, because you will be sauntering very quickly. But I love, I mean, obviously it goes along with the Bloody Marys. I love the olives, the salty stuff and all of that. So when I was pregnant and obviously abstaining from alcohol, the only little treat I'd give myself is have a friend who loves martinis, and I wouldn't eat all of them because they got more than one martini at a time. But I wanted one olive that ended up at the bottom of it. And that was my little treat.
Your soaked olive.
Well, you didn't have to say it that way. I was pregnant, but sorry. She's fine. They both came out fine. It did feel a little wrong, but at the same time, I mean, oh my God, we're talking like, get over it. It's not a big deal. But that way, I look patiently waited for them to finish so I could be like, and that's the pregnant ladies. I'm going to take that olive away from you, and I'm going to enjoy it slowly because you get the actual martini. But yeah, I think it's one I couldn't do a night of martinis.
I have nothing against martinis. Every once in a while, I'll have a hankering for one, and I'll get one if I'm out. But the only time I ever feel compelled to order a martini is if I'm at an event where I had to dress up, like I'm having to wear a suit and tie. Mm-hmm. It almost feels like it goes with the uniform. Like, if I'm wearing James Bond's outfit, I want to drink James Bond's drink.
So did he make martinis famous?
It kind of made it bigger than it was, because it was just a drink, and now it has a very distinct association with a very popular character.
You wonder what would have been different if he would have gotten,
An
old fashioned, or just bourbon on the rocks, or...
You probably have a whole lot more muddle sticks in home bars than martini glasses.
Martini glasses. It is one of those things, like, you can even think to, like, Bewitched and I Love Lucy and some of, like, the older, like, they used to have the carts.
Oh, yeah.
And they would, like, shake and have the... You could have martinis when, like, at home, which is so funny that some things they thought were faux pas to show, like, a husband and wife sleeping in the same bed, God forbid, but like, we can have martinis after 5. He comes home for work. You can be in the corner just shaking and stirring it for him wherever he liked it, but you know, and that was just set up on the dare. Yeah, Darren was the one who liked martinis, I think it was, back in the Bewitched days. It's funny the things that you like associate with words when you hear them, like martinis, and James Bond is definitely one of those that comes up, and olives, obviously, for me. I'm like, you'd be the best one in the world if it didn't have those attached to it. Then I'm like, no, thank you. But saying that, I don't want other things there, like a Bloody Mary, like fill it full of whatever pickled things, olive-y-like things, and I'll take it. But like a martini, that's gross. I just want like just olives in that. I know the difference in shaken and stirred. I'm not that... Not that far removed, but does it change the taste that much?
I've never experienced one where it tasted any different if it were shaken or stirred, no.
Gotcha.
I'm sure someone with one of those super palates that can taste the molecules, they could probably tell the difference, but to your everyday average person, it's booze.
It feels very odd to stir, though. Like, it very much more natural to shake anything that you're going to drink than sit there and sort of stir it. But to each his own. All right, stick with us. We got more for you coming up next. Baby, if you want me, then all of this will go away. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you want me, then all of this will go away.
Upbeat, positive, and stories that make you smile. This is Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi, the Super Talk app, and at supertalk.fm.
I walk the line and I do what is right like I should. I follow the narrow, straight as an arrow, I'm good.
Welcome back to Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. Hope you've taken time to download that. Don't forget, we're always on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, and you can watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. Also look for the Thunder and Lightning Catfish Tour. It is presented by Superior Catfish, and it's back as Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of the Thunder and Lightning podcast. They're going to trek around the state. They're hitting up those catfish houses. They're talking food. They're talking Bulldog sports. You can catch those episodes wherever you listen to podcasts, but you can also watch them on Supertalk Mississippi's YouTube channel if you'd like to do that. For generations, Superior Catfish has cultivated fresh and delicious catfish. They have perfected a process that ensures you receive the finest product available. That's what you want from your catfish. So remember, always ask for Superior Catfish at your favorite grocer and restaurant. So you know I'm deep into the Olympic trials right now, and right now it's all water. It's swimming at night, as well as the diving and sort of all the things. So a local girl from Brandon, Rachel McAlpin, I mentioned her. She qualified for the U.S. Olympic team trials, and she already swam her race a couple of nights ago. It was the 100 breaststroke. Unfortunately, she didn't make it, but it was a great experience. She's still young. She can come back strong. But we have another swimmer, a Mississippi connection. She's from Oxford, and she is a lap closer to qualifying for the 2024 Paris Olympics. So Miss Julia Dennis, she is in Indianapolis this weekend. She's competing in two separate events to make the Olympic team. So yesterday, she swam in the prelim for the 100-meter freestyle, and she won her heat. Hot diggity dog. So the semifinals of this event will also be swam last night. And if she qualifies, you know what? I don't know if she made it to the upcoming race. That's okay. I'm a day or a couple hours short on knowing that. But still, she made it one step closer in that race. I'll have to find out if she qualified for the finals, which would be tonight's race. So tonight is happening for the 100-meter finals for the women. She's also competing Saturday, so we still got time to look for that, in the 50-meter freestyle race. So she still has an opportunity to maybe get one step closer to the Paris Olympics. Currently, though, she's a sophomore at the University of Louisville, but she is from Oxford. There's also a tie for a diver, Tyler. Oh, I'm going to forget his last name. But he did. He punched his ticket to the Paris Olympics, and he is from the Mississippi Delta. He hasn't lived there in years since he graduated. His family still lives there. He's got some great aunts and such. So all the Mississippi connections, don't worry. I will have my notes better figured out by the time the Olympics come around. And if we've got any connections, hometown people, past just Team USA, I will make sure that we are all rooting for them. But man, I said it here yesterday, and I'll just say it again, when you're watching the swimming trials, even the diving, that would be one of the hardest things, in my opinion, Rhino, to have to judge, because they all look perfect to me. I don't know how you deviate little splashes from big splashes and all the things, and who's synchronized and who not. And so that would be really difficult. But you're watching folks come down to like tenths of a second, and whether their Olympic dreams are coming true or, you know, not. And so that has to be absolutely devastating, even though just making it to the trials in itself is a huge feat. And so, anywho, that's still going on. You can watch them at night. I think they start at like 7 p.m. and they go to like 9 or so if you're looking for something fun and interesting to watch. And obviously, we'll keep finding our Mississippi connections, which I will keep bringing to you as I discover those. If I have missed any and you're sitting there screaming at your radio, so you're not talking about X, Y, and Z, let me know. 601-879-4395. I do my best to keep up with all the Mississippians doing really cool things on national and international stages, but I need your help. So if you know of somebody from your small town, maybe they don't go here anymore, maybe they're in college somewhere, but you know they still have roots here in Mississippi, or they've just got good Mississippi connections, I want to know. So just hit us up. Z-Spire text line, 601-879-4395. You can always hit up email or whatever else by going to supertalk.fm. Find the Good Things website. Email me or Rhino, because we need to know and celebrate these folks who have made it to that next level of their competition. For the rest of us, though, if we want, I don't know if we can get a gold medal in the Olympics, because there's not many sports at this point in our life, if we haven't started, that we'd have a shot in the dark of making it to the Olympics and getting a gold medal. But there's always time to figure out a world record to break for some stupid thing or another that you could have plastered all over your wall as being a world record holder for something until somebody comes back and breaks it. But this Idaho man, he broke his own fist-bumping record to get, I guess, a further advancement in his Guinness World Record. So he's a serial Guinness World Record breaker, which I feel like should be in the, what do they call it, the DM whatever for mental health disorders. Like, I feel like if you just go through the Guinness World Book of Records and looking for people's parade to ting-ting on, then you need some kind of help. But he broke his own record for the second time by fist bumping a fellow YouTuber. How many times do you think, Rhino, in 30 seconds?
120.
397. So right now, if you take your fist and you're like just fist pumping, we're not talking about like in 60 seconds. We're talking about in 30 seconds. 390.
Are they allowed to use both fists? Because then you're just rolling.
Then you're just rolling? I don't know. So his name's Rush. He originally broke the record with his neighbor, managing 273 fist bumps in the allotted time. And then he broke his own record when he got Howie Mandel fist bumped 380 times on an episode of America's Got Talent, which that's pretty, if you know anything about Howie, he's a germaphobe. So that in itself deserved a record. But then he broke the record again during an appearance on the YouTuber, I don't know, Dr. Mike, oh God. That is probably not a doctor. Do not follow doctor. I do not know him, but probably not. The first time, 397 times in 30 seconds. So he has his, I guess, three times record. He's, it feels like he's gotten really good at it. I will say this. I would have to go for 400. Like, even though it's.
Well, you don't think they were trying?
I'm sure he was just trying for.
As fast as possible, as many as possible.
Well, I mean, you go from 380 to then 397. You added 17 fist bumps in 30 seconds. 30 seconds is not long, right? But also, it's still a long time just to sit there and be very methodical with the fist bumping. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's one, though. The one thing I like about these is you could try it. I mean, not that you're going to. Please don't tell anybody if you do, unless you break the record and have proof of it.
But that's like 13 and a half fist bumps per second.
How is that possible, then?
They're literally sitting there going...
Okay. Maybe we should try it. We could try it during the break for 30 seconds. And then it gets like, now we're just... Now I'm just annoyed by it.
I feel like you might break your hand on mine.
On yours? I don't know, his fists aren't bloody or anything of that nature. If you went through, like, looking at world records, is there any sector or genre, I don't know if there's a genre, that you might be apt to being good at?
I don't know that I would ever try to break the record, but I do find it fascinating how people can use different breathing techniques to, like, saturate their body with oxygen and then hold their breath, like free divers. I would never try to hold my breath as long as them. I would never try to free dive as deep as them, but I do think it would be fascinating to learn some of the techniques that they use to be able to hold their breath for 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes.
That would be,
because I don't think I could ever get to that point of holding my breath for 7, 8, 9, or 10 minutes, but it would be mind-boggling to the average Joe to be able to hold your breath for a minute, 2 minutes.
Did you ever do that, like, as a kid in the pool with your brothers?
Yeah.
Like, go to the bottom, sit there cross-legged, and, like, the
ball. Oh, we would sit there with our knees bent over the side of the pool.
Like, go lay back.
Dunk backwards. And whoever sat up last won.
The lifeguard just sitting there staring at y'all, like, or, no. But, like, now you wouldn't be able to get away with that at all, which for a good reason, you know, just because. Y'all did it back then and didn't die doesn't mean that it wasn't a bad idea. Either that or going, trying to hold yourself at the bottom and crossing your legs and, like, the bubbles coming up and staring at each other because you have your goggles on trying to see who breaks. Yeah, when you start to think, like, 9 or 10 minutes, that is an incredibly long time to sit there and just sort of hold your breath. I think the panic sets in, and then it's like you're coming up to the surface.
Yeah, because you're fighting against the natural urge telling you to do something you need to survive.
Someone text in, professional breath holder and diver, not going to say his name because can't, the world record, 24 minutes and 37 seconds.
It's insane.
That is insane. That is like, I was trying to think of something that took 20 minutes, but like, I mean, I drive to work in 20 minutes. I mean,
you can watch an episode of most sitcoms on broadcast television.
I can't make it through the Mobile Tunnel.
Like, if you cut all the commercials out of an episode of a 30-minute TV show, it's going to be that long.
It's crazy. All right, stick with us. Don't hold your breath. We're coming back next.
I did.
Rebecca Turner.
She's smart and pretty.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
That's a good thing. We are always streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We're always on that local station. And too, you can find us on your computer or your mobile device by watching Supertalk TV. Don't forget our Supertalk Mississippi news team. They're bringing the news to you wherever you are. Of course, you can catch them on nearly 50 stations across the great state. But don't forget, you can now find them on the go. It's Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So just go to supertalk.fm/news on the go to keep up with what's going on across the state. And talking about podcasts, you can get all of your favorite Supertalk shows, including Good Things, in podcast form if you would like to do that. I found it, Rhino. I was looking for a headline that I had when you were out for your extended Father's Day extravaganza, and it got deleted. But it is a record that I want Porch Cat to try to break. So it's a skateboarding cat breaks speed record in China. I feel like Porch Cat is up for the challenge. So number one, I just love that it's a skateboarding cat. It's not just a cat that skateboards. Like, it is a skateboarding cat, as if those are specific types of breeds of cats. I don't know. I mean, you tell me. But a skateboarding cat showed off its skills in China and earned a Guinness World Record. So the kitty's got the world record. So this would be Porch Cat, not you, by skateboarding a distance of 32 feet, 9.2 inches in just 12.85 seconds. So I don't really know how far 32 feet is, but
not all that far.
But the cat made it on the skateboard for 12.85 seconds without, I guess, jumping off. It's just a year and 8 months old. So I feel like Porch Cat's more seasoned and grumpy.
Yeah, I don't think she would be too happy if I put her on something that rolled and then
so is that really
shoved her really hard?
Well, I mean, if you got it in the right direction, it may not be a shove. It could just be an encouragement and then let the skateboard take over in that way. But do you think the real record is the fact that there was a cat that sat still on something moving and didn't hop off? Is that like the real?
Yeah, that seems closer to the difficult part of that particular record.
So this is actually a professional dog trainer who did this. His original intention when he brought the cat home was to help with a rodent problem, but then he figured out that the cat was more talented than his dog. So take that, all his dog lovers out there. And soon he started training the cat and said it took about a year for her to master the art of skateboarding. So, but she actually, I think she does it. Like, there's a video and there is a, like, it's not just hanging on, like the foot comes down.
Oh, so it's actually propelling it.
Propelling it, which is even more, I guess, impressive to that. You know, it's also National Garfield Day. I can't see Garfield giving a darn about a skateboard either.
Not unless it was part of some scheme to get more lasagna.
Maybe so.
I mean, he would probably do a 900 off a half pipe if it meant getting more lasagna.
Probably so. Would Porch Cat do tricks or anything specific?
She used to play fetch pretty often, where if we would go to a fast food place and get a burger or something, she loved the crinkly paper it would come wrapped up in, plus it smelled like human food. So we could take that and ball it up and throw it, and she would go bat it around and then pick it up with her mouth, mm-hmm, and bring it back and play fetch. But she doesn't care so much for that in the new place. I think it's because there are less little nooks and crannies that have developed because I've only been there a certain amount of time compared to the old place. I'd been there over a decade, so she had little places where she knew she could, if she wanted to get away with the prize that, mm-hmm, smelled like human food, she could go hide it, whereas there's not as many hiding places. So I think she's not against it, but she doesn't jump to as quickly when I do it nowadays, mm-hmm, but I don't know. That was about the most training I could get her to do as far as a trick, other than maybe headbutt. Like, if I pick her up and put her on an elevated surface and then pat my chest, she's going to climb up and give me a headbutt.
That's sweet.
But that's because she knows if she does that, she gets a treat.
She's
so
sweet,
it's become conditioned to
over
the point
time.
Now where I have to make sure if she's already had too many treats for the day,
you can't do that.
I don't pick her up and sit her somewhere and stay close. Because even without the pat, she's like, oh, treat. Okay, cool. No, too many treats already.
Too many treats for you. Well, this guy has expanded his teaching business or his business to welcome in training cats. I'm like, let's check back in on him in a year and see how this is going. Because folks hadn't done that already for a reason. Because cats train you.
They are trainable, but yeah, it requires much more
consistency. Is it really training, or is it more of like effectively communicating to where you both understand what the other's wanting? Like where a dog gets trained to do tricks. I think a cat's more like, I'm just trying to understand your language so we get things out of each other that we both want. That's a different demeanor. I don't think a cat would like to be thought of as trained, if that makes sense. They're too smart for that. They train you. Maybe that's what they're doing. They're training them. All right, stick with us. We got more for you coming up next. You got the boys with Sports Talk from 3 to 6. Rhino and I'll meet you back here tomorrow at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.